we gather, as we do each day, this is a gift. This is your gift, this time, during our busy week, to come and pause and gather. And I'm grateful that you take advantage of it. We have a blessing today. One of your classmates, Aaliyah Felton, second-year student. I aged you on Tuesday when I said you were a third-year student. We're not going to rush the Gustavus journey. Second-year student here at Gustavus. I was going to share a scripture passage and a message for us this morning. Before we begin with our opening prayer, I know it's heavy on all our hearts, this school shooting in southern Florida. And it's just madness. This just continues. And we're going to begin with just a moment of quiet silence for us to just honor the families there that are hurting today in a bad way. Let's bow our heads. Gracious God, you are just that, gracious. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the way that you hold us, even as our world is mad around us and people are mad. Help us to be a part of the solution, to be a part of a loving heart that reaches out heart to heart, across differences, across whatever it may be that separates heart from heart. We thank you for our Gustavus community, our Gustavus family. May we be love for each other. Thank you for Aaliyah. Thank you for her faith and her gifts that she shares with this campus. I ask you to bless her as she shares the message today. Bless each and every one of us. May our hearts be open to you and your love working in our lives. Amen. I invite you to sing. We're going to begin with hymn number 323 in our Cranberry Hymnal, and why don't you please stand as we sing 3, 2, 3.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for that introduction. My name is Aaliyah Felton, and I am a sophomore here at Gustavus. I'm a communication arts literature teaching major pursuit, and I am in love with love, which probably explains my infatuation and obsession with good romance novels and movies and other such likes. And as many of you know, we are in the peak of the season of love, as Valentine's Day was yesterday. And if any of you were like me, I hung out with my friends trying to forget the fact that my non-existent love life was haunting me. When it comes to anything, really, but especially love, I'm an emotional human being. My mom makes fun of me because I cry at cute or sad commercials, and I can't help but feel for romantic gestures I see on social media sites and other platforms. However, being surrounded by the reminder that I have no one to take me out on Valentine's Day forced me to sit and think and contemplate, which could potentially be dangerous, and was. I went through the motions trying to convince myself that I am an independent woman and I don't need no man, which sounds good and everything, but can sometimes be perceived as not enough. I wrecked my brain and self-esteem trying to be okay with just watching and reading about love. And then I fall into this pit of, oh my gosh, I'm going to be single forever and have a dog and still be watching Grey's Anatomy when I'm 50, because God knows that show has no intention of stopping anytime soon. But then I stop and I let my fears and my doubts and all my insecurities fade away, because I am suddenly reminded of my first love and the best love story of all time that I know. And that is the love of Jesus Christ. This then sparks a filling of the void I felt and initiates a love so great it changes my mood, it changes my actions, it changes my life. I want to explore this concept of love as it pertains to the greatest lover of all time, that being Jesus Christ. My scripture passage for today is Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, which reads, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the commandments and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." The scripture passage itself presents itself as threefold. Love God with everything you have and everything you are. Love others with that same love, and love yourself equally as much. Let's think about that for a second. Jesus tells us that love is the greatest commandment, and we must love him, ourselves, and others with that love. Now, when Jesus says love, does he refer to the mushy, gushy, puppy love that is sometimes present but sometimes always fleeting? Simply put, no, that is not the type of love that Jesus is referring to. No, Jesus is referring to the term agape, which some of you may be familiar with. The Greek word meaning the highest, purest form of love, a love that is everlasting and unconditional. Wow, right? There's no greater love than this, but why would Jesus tell us to love him with this love? Simply put, again, he first loved us in this way. John 3:16, the first scripture passage that most children learn, states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life." God loved his creation with the highest, purest form of love, that he sent his only Son to take on the sins of the world, die, and give us the opportunity to repent so that we may join him in the eternity that is heaven. After all, Jesus tells us that there is no other love greater than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus calls us friends, and he willingly laid down his life for ours. This, my friends, is the greatest love story ever told. So how do we do this? How do we love God, ourselves, and others with such a pure love? God lays out a framework for us through the Holy Scripture. We love God by spending time with him, because it's impossible to truly love someone you don't have a constant relationship with, which is why God calls us to prayer and constantly studying Scripture. By doing this, we are able to rid our lives of idols that constantly cause us to put God on the back burner, a thing we talk to only when we're in trouble or need something, or in my case, last semester when my grades were slipping. We love God by making him a constant, not allowing anything in our daily lives to take us away from him. Again, we can't love someone we don't make time for. Our love for God depends on our diligence to make God a priority, giving up ourselves so that his will can be done through us in the earth. The second part of this commandment is loving people. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the saying, love your enemies, and even more familiar with the fact that this can be easier said than done. But I can assure you of this truth, which is illustrated by one of my favorite quotes. "You catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar." In other words, we must remember to always be sweet. Through that sweetness, we will attract the right kind of people. In scriptural terms, a person that has friends must show themselves to be a friend. Psalm 18:24. So in its fullness, we fulfill this commandment by being sweet, being a friend, being merciful and forgiving, and loving everyone regardless of any outside chatter or misconceptions, because Jesus calls us to do so. And finally, we end this trio with actually my New Year's resolution, funnily enough, and that is to love oneself. Many of you may be familiar with this saying as well, "If you don't love yourself, how can anyone else truly love you?" These are powerful words to live by. Loving yourself is a crucial part in being able to love others and others loving you in return. Loving yourself requires you to know yourself, and I mean really, really know yourself. That might entail spending time with yourself in order to learn more about yourself. This also might require more time with God, who knows you better than anyone else on the planet. This might even require acceptance. Acceptance of oneself and all that you entail, as well as accepting God's love, who loves you and wants you just the way that you are. The process might seem ugly at times because we might not always love what we see in ourselves. But through it all, UGLY, you gotta love yourself. In conclusion, I have a very short message for you today. Please take with you the knowledge that love is so much more than just visual or material. It's the manifestation of something that exerts outward and resonates inward. It ought to be pure and beautiful, unconditional even. Loving God must be our daily priority and practice. Loving others, though it might be hard at times, ought to be second nature. And loving ourselves is essential to all of the above. I will leave you with these last few words. Be sweet, be kind, be patient, be merciful, love God, love people, love yourself. Thank you.
I invite you now to sing hymn number 638. 638, and please stand as we sing this hymn together. God's blessings to each and every one of you as you go forth from here into your day, into your life. May the remembrance of God's great love for you and God's claim on your life, God's claim of love on your life, may it renew in you today a sense of your own faith, a sense of your own purpose, a sense of your own capacity to love to yourself and to everyone you encounter today. God bless you. Amen.